You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 27th, 2022. We are live streaming right now. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. Punch the live location and take you right to the studio. I'm glad to have you join us. And for those of you listening on the radio, if you want to watch it later, you can do the same thing. Many do see the podcast on rumble.com later in the day. And, of course, all programs do go to our podcast for audio anyway, LarryConnersUSA.com. The tactical team that killed the Uvalde school shooter reportedly arriving at the school earlier than previously thought, by about 30 minutes earlier than thought. The communications coming out of what happened that day at the Uvalde school, Robb Elementary, where 19 students, elementary kids, and two teachers were killed, continues to be confusing. But it is clear that the officers did not enter and engage immediately. Even the Texas Department of Public Safety director said the on-scene commander at the time believed it had transitioned from an active shooter to a barricaded subject. In other words, he's barricaded in a room, and they thought everybody in the room's dead anyway. We'll take our time going in, not getting officers killed. And he said there was time to retrieve keys and wait on a tactical team with the proper equipment to go ahead and breach the door. Apparently, no one there had a protective shield they could use to go in. McGraw admitting, from the benefit of hindsight, from where I'm sitting, that was not the right decision. I wasn't there, but I'm telling you, from what we know, we believe we should have made entry as soon as possible. I thought we had learned this lesson since Columbine. And in fact, many police agencies have been trained to do that. When a shooter is involved in an event, you do not wait. Even if the shooting is stopped and you think it's over, that does not mean there are not those inside that are still alive. We've got an eyewitness you're going to hear from later in the next segment, telling his story, hiding under a table, covered by a tablecloth. It does not mean that some of those who have been shot might still be saved if you get to them in time. There are rightly going to be a lot of questions about that. The Department of Public Safety director did say when we did rush in, there was a barrage, hundreds of rounds, all pumped in 4 minutes. And after that, sporadic and at the door. He said, again, we believed at the time maybe no one is living anymore. And he was trying to entice police to come in and have suicide by cop. Well, if that's what he wanted, I'd give it to him. But get inside that room with those kids. The NRA is holding its summit meeting in Houston today. Donald Trump still scheduled to speak. The governor of Texas, Abbott, has decided he will stay in Uvalde, Texas, not deliver live remarks. Did send a taped greeting to the NRA convention members. Lee Greenwood, Larry Gatlin, Larry Stewart have all pulled out of performing, saying they just don't feel they can at this point with the tragedy that happened in Uvalde, Texas. Prices of food up by 10% in April. That's the biggest jump since 1981. We are at a 41-year high for inflation of food. It's not getting better, is it? To Ukraine, Russia now deploying Soviet-era tanks to support the ongoing invasion of Ukraine. These tanks are 50 years old, being pulled from deep storage. Why? Because so many of the more modern Russian tanks have been destroyed by the fighters in Ukraine. You got a doctor taken off the medical registry in London He was prescribing puberty blockers to a 9-year-old after a 10-minute Skype session. He's a gastroenterologist. He's not even supposed to be dealing with that kind of material. And by the way, there's another victim from the Uvalde shooting. You know, one of the teachers was killed. Her husband died of a heart attack yesterday. He and his wife had been married for 24 years. She was killed by the shooter, and in effect, the shooter also killed him. 24 years, and the heartbreak was just too severe. Send your prayers, please. Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middle man. This ain't no place for no hero to call home.
This ain't no place for no hero. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The boy hid under a table that was covered with a tablecloth. That's why he's alive. That tablecloth blocked the murderer from seeing this 9-year-old boy under the table.
We have a door in the middle, and he opened it, and then he came in, and he crouched a little bit, and he said, "It's time to die." When he shot, it was very loud, and it hurt my ear. When I saw the bullets on the floor, it was real.
It's time to die. It was real. The boy was hiding under that table with a friend. He saw his teacher get shot and killed. He saw another classmate get shot and killed by the gunman as the police approached the classroom.
That is MSNBC Lawrence O'Donnell. The soundbite was from a 9-year-old student who was inside the classroom where most of the killing took place. If not all the killing, has again not been verified if all the students were in that one classroom, the 19 killed. But he was alive, and so was a friend of his as they were hiding under that tablecloth. The interview was conducted by a reporter on the scene in Uvalde. Have not seen his name attributed, or I would certainly give him credit for it. He either knew the family or talked them into letting them interview their child without showing his face for his TV station. And it's a heartbreaking story. I mean, when you hear it from that child, you can't help but ache, cry for what that boy witnessed. There was another story of a young girl who was in apparently the same classroom and saw one of her friends on the floor dead or dying, bleeding profusely. And she actually took some of that girl's blood and smeared it on her face and arms to make it look like she had been shot and then tried to play dead. There'll probably be more stories like that coming out. Unfortunately, Lawrence O'Donnell, in addition to telling the story, also uses the boy's story, I hate to say it, but make political points. We're going to break it down in more detail, but let's go back to what was happening, how the 9-year-old boy was describing the situation.
He saw his teacher get shot and killed. He saw another classmate get shot and killed by the gunman as the police approached the classroom.
I was telling my friend to not talk because he's going to hear us. The cop said, help if you need help. And then one of the persons in my class said, help. The guy overheard and he came in and shot her. And then the cops barged in into that classroom. And the guy shot the cops and the cops just started shooting.
Again, that's the way the 9-year-old was seeing and hearing things as he was hiding under a table that was covered with a tablecloth reaching all the way to the floor or close to it. How much he could actually see and what he was imagining as he was listening, it's hard to decipher. Now, Governor Abbott held a news conference yesterday describing how the events unfolded. Here's the way he was presenting it.
Officers with the Consolidated Independent School District, they approached the gunman and engaged with the gunman at that time. The gunman then entered a back door and went down two short hallways and then into a classroom on the left-hand side. The gunroom entered into that classroom, and the classroom was connected internally to another classroom. Border Patrol, Consolidated ISD officers, police, sheriffs, and DPS officers converged on that classroom, and a Border Patrol officer killed the gunman.
That's the story as it was presented, and the governor has no personal knowledge. He's reading strictly what he's been given by someone who was aware, supposedly aware of the details, and had gathered enough of the facts to present them for the governor to read. You can't fault the governor for what he's reading. Lawrence O'Donnell is going to in a moment, but before we get to that, it is clear that there was confusion, as often happens, and who's doing what, how do we do it, and so forth. But the head of the Texas Department of Public Safety says that there was a belief that maybe no one was living anymore, and the subject was now barricaded, trying to keep law enforcement at bay and basically enticing them to come in and have suicide by cop. In other words, have the police kill him. Well, he got that wish, and I just wish it had happened sooner. But the Texas Department of Public Safety director admits that that belief and that decision to hold back was the wrong decision. And the timeline as to, according to one source, something like 48 minutes all this was unfolding, and children and teachers were repeatedly calling 911 asking for help, including one girl, and this is according to the Department of Public Safety director, one girl saying, please send the police now. But no police officers apparently rushed in right away. It was 11:28 when the shooter's pickup slammed into a ditch behind the one-story school. The driver jumped out carrying his rifle and running into the school. And it's 12 minutes after that, he entered the elementary school and got to a fourth-grade classroom where he started the shooting. But it was at least 12:58 from 11:28 to 12:58, that law enforcement radio chatter said that he had been killed and it was over. And also there was a off-duty Border Patrol officer getting a haircut nearby. His wife sent him a text that there was a shooter at their daughter's school. He grabbed the barber's shotgun, ran to the school, to the wing of the school where he knew his daughter held classes, or had classes, and two police officers, apparently police or highway patrol, went with him down the hallway, clearing the hallway and getting into that classroom and getting kids out. He found his daughter. She was okay. And they helped get other kids out. But the decision not to immediately attack and go directly after the shooter at that moment is a decision that even the Texas Highway Patrol director admits was the wrong decision. We should have engaged immediately, regardless of what we thought was going on in the classroom or not. Simply because the shooter stopped shooting does not mean he's not waiting on you to come to the door, but it also doesn't mean that there might still be survivors in hiding or those who are wounded that if you get to them in time, you might be able to save them. In 99, in the Columbine shooting in Colorado, police waited and waited and waited as the shooters went through the school, shooting and killing more. And since that time, the procedure had been, we don't wait, we go in immediately. We do not wait, we go in. There are some that are saying, well, the police were too frightened. I'm not going to buy that. I'm thinking there was a confusion and somebody didn't take charge. They should have just gone ahead and done it anyway without waiting for a leadership. Town Hall's Kurt Schlicker put on Twitter, it's really hard to overestimate the damage to the reputation of law enforcement in the eyes of normal Americans that the Texas shooting has led to. And then Wolf Blitzer was asking the DPS lieutenant about asking, don't the current best practices, don't they call for officers to disable a shooter as quickly as possible? And the answer is yes, they should have been doing that. But Governor Abbott, as he was reading what you heard a moment ago, giving the best details of what he had, what he had been provided, Lawrence O'Donnell wanted to take the governor to task simply by reading the basic information he had. Now, I'm not going to say right away that O'Donnell is entirely wrong, but as you listen to it, I think you're going to have the same issues I did, Lawrence O'Donnell.
He left out that the elapsed time for what he just described there was an hour. He left out that police officers on the scene at the school refused to go after the gunman for an hour. Greg Abbott and the Republican elected officials at that news conference, including the local mayor, needed a simple, clean story of good guys with guns stopping the bad guy with a gun. And they need that because that story is the Republican policy for dealing with school shootings. The Republican policy is, first of all, make sure that America's mass murderers are the best equipped mass murderers in the world. And then second, when one of those well-equipped mass murderers with an AR-15 shows up at a public school, the good guy with a badge, standing presumably at the front door of the school like a bank guard, will pull out a handgun and immediately shoot and kill the mass murderer who has arrived at the school. That mass murderer is going to arrive with some amount of body armor now. We know that. Everything is wrong with that Republican plan. Everything.
There is no Republican plan to give a school shooter any weapon, any weapon. There is no Republican plan that would simply say that one guy with a gun could stop such a shooter. There is a safety plan, a law enforcement plan, that if you have a gun and you can use it against a shooter to stop him, that's better than throwing a chalkboard eraser at him or chairs, which had been taught for a while in some schools, as if that's going to stop. That is about as effective as hiding under your desk during the Cold War days just in case there's a nuclear bomb. Get under your desk, you'll be safe. But here's Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC just deciding it's all Republicans. It's all Republicans, and the children that died are basically because of what Republicans have as a school plan. See, that's where I had the real issue. The timeline, yes, there's a question about that. We don't know a lot of that. I told you that repeatedly. It's been confusing, and they're still nailing it down. And were there bad decisions made? Even the Department of Public Safety admits, yes, there was a bad decision. We should have gone in sooner. Again, that's hindsight. But damn it, I will say this. Your hindsight should have gone back to 99 in Columbine and realized the plan is you do not wait. You go in and engage as quick as possible. There might be children that could be saved that are in the process of dying, but if you get the medical help. But then O'Donnell wants to make another point and say this is how the Republicans are going to protect your kids. Listen.
Republicans have extended their plan to include the idea that the two teachers who were shot and killed in their classroom at that school both should have had guns. And instead of using their bodies to try to protect children from bullets, they should have been up and on their feet and aiming their guns, their handguns, at the mass murderer with the AR-15. The Republican plan is the teacher, Eva Morales, and teacher, Irmer Garcia, should have been doing what the police who showed up at the school could not do or were afraid to do.
Yes, we are pushing in general for teachers to be armed, our school staff, and not have guns locked in a safe where they have to go retrieve them, but be properly trained and be ready. And a political consult poll that just came out yesterday say the majority of voters support arming teachers and school staff with concealed weapons. And yes, if one of them had had a pistol, they might have been able to stop him. Might have. I'll get back into that in more detail in the next segment and the NRA in Houston.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and reminding you, we are, when we're on the air live streaming at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll open up a page where you'll see previous Rumble podcasts we put up, and you can go to the one marked live, enter the studio. Subscribe. It's for free. You'll get it every time delivered to your mailbox. Same thing for our podcast. Go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, subscribe for free. Don't want you to miss anything. I want you to be able to share them with others so they get the message. So Lawrence O'Brien of MSNBC decided to take the story of a 9-year-old witness who was in one of those classrooms who survived and capitalize on it and politicize it and turn it into the Republican plan for a school shooting. Is to give the shooter the best weapon possible. And the Republican plan is to have teachers carry weapons. See, why do you have to be that divisive in that way at that point? Really? You can talk about their plans and talks, but there is no Republican plan for a school shooting like that. Give me a... And speaking of the teachers, there was a Morning Consult poll that came out, Politico Morning Consult, just yesterday, 54% of those surveyed either strongly or somewhat support arming teachers and staff to respond to school shootings. Only 20% strongly opposing. So they think it's a good idea. But you know who else thinks it's a good idea? The commission that investigated the Parkland High School shooting noted armed teachers could have made a difference in the outcome of this incident. That's the Parkland shooting back in 2018. And in fact, the sheriff of that county, head of the Parkland Commission, said, in the beginning, I was opposed to having teachers be armed. But after hearing all this, if someone had in that school had a gun, maybe they could have saved kids' lives. You want one more piece of evidence that maybe it might have made a difference? Another source, an off-duty Border Patrol officer getting a haircut, as I said, when he got a text from his wife, someone is shooting at our child's school. He rushed over, grabbing the barbershop owner's shotgun, ran into the wing where his kid was holding her class, and with the help of two other officers, they went down the hallway getting kids out the door. He found his girl. She was okay, but he was still saddened. He put up later on Facebook, he said, hopefully changes will be made at all schools in the U.S., and teachers will be trained and allowed to carry in order to protect themselves and students. This is a father of a student and a Border Patrol agent. It's not such a bad idea. We can and should do more to arm our schools. Some are saying, look at the Israeli plan. You had to go through several checkpoints, but they also aren't looking for weapons. They do profiling of folks that might be coming to that school. We might need to start looking in that direction more. The National Rifle Association is holding its annual leadership summit in Houston. Governor Abbott was to be there. He did not go. He did pre-tape a message and a greeting to those attending in Houston. He's staying in Uvalde, Texas, he said, to be on the scene there, gathering more information, being with the families. Some will say, oh, what a cop-out. What a cop-out. Well, that's what he chose to do. At last report, Senator Ted Cruz is still going to speak to the group, and so is former President Trump. I have not seen yet that they have. If it's today or tomorrow, I don't know. But three big-name entertainers, Larry Stewart, Larry Gatlin, Lee Greenwood, all have pulled out of performing. Larry Gatlin said, in good conscience, I cannot. He said, I support the NRA, but I just cannot do this at this time. And Lee Greenwood said, as a father, I joined the rest of America in being absolutely heartbroken. I was scheduled to appear at a private event Saturday with my band. We decided to decline. American Pie singer Don McLean had already pulled out for similar reasons, thinking it would be disrespectful and hurtful for me to perform. Now, you're going to watch. You're going to watch that also be politicized by the left. You watch, especially if Trump goes and speaks or Senator Cruz and those who are attending. And the gun maker of the actual rifle used by the shooter was to be displaying weapons that had a section set up, but it's decided to close its area down. And as I said, in case you missed it the last hour, I think really what should have happened is the NRA itself should have said, let's not hold it this weekend. Let's cancel it. That's what they should have done. That's my opinion. What's yours? Coming up is a real issue, the gun or the society around us. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's a sickness in our society. I've always said overall the solution is renewed faith, stronger families, more supportive communities. I don't think it's helpful that kids are spending so much time in front of a computer screen, you know, playing these games, being alienated, bullying on social media platforms. We need to re-examine. We need to, you know, re-engage into society, have more events person to person. This is a society-wide problem, a society-wide sickness that is not going to be solved by some gun law, additional gun laws here in Washington, D.C.
Those are the words of Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, and I think he's right, that there is a sickness in our society and we need to address it. It's not just mental illness. That is obviously an issue as well. But there's also a pervasive attitude, for lack of a better word at this point, in the sense that I'm better than you and I'm going to make you subject to me, be it a man to a woman to another woman, a parent to a child. And the question about video games and all the gaming that's online now, this is nothing new. I mean, I've been looking at some of this. Some of the studies go back to the 90s. No real definitive answers in any of them. It depends on what you're trying to find, you will find. There's a piece from the American Psychological Association in 2000. Big headlines, violent video games can increase aggression. They flat state it that way. And they're basing it upon supposedly studies of young men showing that they finish the game and are habitually aggressive afterwards. If they're playing games like Doom or Mortal Kombat, things of that nature. Video games themselves can also accelerate that. Now, the Dana Foundation is a group that is basically supporting neuroscience and society. And the Dana Foundation, an author for them, said there is a longstanding debate about violence involving video games, if it can trigger real-world violence. But he said there's no real connection. And he was writing his piece. This would have been after the shooting at the Walmart in El Paso, Texas, where 22 were killed. That would have been in August of 2019. He said some games can exploit antisocial themes. He said there are games in which a player can reenact the killings at Columbine. And then a goal of another game is to rape a mother or daughter. Another to rape Native American women. There's also ethnic cleansing games in which the players choose to shoot down either African Americans, Latinos, Jews, so forth and so on. Those games themselves are an issue. And then it gets to the parents that are allowing that game inside their house for their children to play. Now, if your child goes to someone else's house and you're not aware that what game might be playing because that parent's not keeping a watch, then there's another issue. Justice Scalia, in writing for the majority in a 2011 Supreme Court decision, the late Justice Scalia was basically scoffing that violent video games cause real-world violence. He wrote, "They show at best some correlation between exposure to violent entertainment and minuscule real-world effects, such as children feeling more aggressive or making louder noises in the few minutes after playing a violent game than after playing a non-violent game." Well, again, like I say, on the other side, you've got various psychiatrists, psychologists, all saying, no, the games are a direct correlation. I was talking about this with someone, about video games that their child plays. And they say, well, I told my husband, you need to take that game out of the house. You're talking about Grand Theft Auto. I haven't seen that game. I know it's one of the big ones, supposedly big violence. She said, but it also involves kidnapping women off the streets and shooting cops. Well, the father said, well, he's already been playing. I mean, it's too late now. She said, but you're the parent. You can take it away now. Now, if a video game is shooting monsters, a World War II reenactment where you were battling Germans or Japanese at that time, that was a real-world event. And if kids are doing that, I'm not so big on them doing that, but that's not like shooting cops in today's world or kidnapping and killing women and children, reenacting the Columbine shooting. If you're shooting monsters and space creatures, zombies, fine. And it's not so much in that sense they're shooting. They're just playing a game, pushing buttons. They're not pulling a trigger. But even if it's a game where it may be attached to a device that a trigger is pulled, that's still different, in my opinion. But it's your child, your children. It's something you need to decide. There are some of these games that victims are killed with every imaginable item, not just guns. Keep that in mind. You're going to hear a lot from the left about video games and the guns. But a lot of these same games include clubs, hammers, chainsaws, setting someone on fire, all of this graphic. And some of this is so graphic it can look real nowadays. And it's not just the games, it's the movies, the stuff streaming on the internet. My daughter, when my grandson was younger, he could not be on the internet except at a certain time, and the computer had to be the one used in the room where she was. But I'll remind you of what a pastor told me years ago, and he said there are cases where even a good kid comes out of a bad family. And where a bad kid comes out of a very good family. But each one is an aberration. Whatever the family shapes is what in turn shapes the child. And to that extent, again, Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, said it's society flaws.
No matter what you do, people fall through the cracks. You can't identify all these problems. You can't arrest somebody for a crime they haven't committed yet. These are difficult issues, but again, the solution lies in stronger families, more supportive communities. I would argue renewed faith. We've lost that. We stopped teaching values in so many of our schools. Now we're teaching wokeness. We're indoctrinating our children with things like CRT, telling some children they're not equal to others and they're the cause of other people's problems.
But these shootings were going on long before CRT and wokeness. Right?
I think CRT has been going on under the radar for quite some time as well. Wokeness has been. Liberal indoctrination has been. This is a much larger issue than what a simple new gun law is going to. It's not going to solve it. It's not going to solve it.
See, I could have ended that interview earlier before he was interrupted by the anchor saying, well, wokeness CRT of just recent and gun shootings have been, and massacres have been taking place. I could have ended and you wouldn't have known it. But I want you to hear the rest of it. Because his point is what we're lacking right now is a moral compass in our nation. He brought up wokeness. He brought up CRT. You can side one way or the other, but can you deny that this nation is lacking a moral compass, regardless of where you stand on those issues? Even members of the LGBTQ community, can you not admit we're lacking a moral compass? I'm not talking about biblical. I'm talking about a simple moral compass. And it does include, thou shalt not kill. I want to end this program on a brighter note of what someone is doing to help instill a moral compass for a child, and especially in advance of Memorial Day coming Monday. An inspiring story, one that will leave you with a smile, and thank you, God, for that person. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTNER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities began holding springtime tributes to those fallen soldiers. They would decorate their graves and tombstones. It became known as Decoration Day. That was really the birth of what later would become Memorial Day, recognized as Memorial Day and a federal holiday in 1971. Now, every year, I get various messages from various listeners about that they're part of a scout troop that puts flags up at Memorial for remembrance of troops who have died in battle, men and women who died in battle. That's the Memorial Day note that you should keep in mind, not just another day to barbecue and have fun. Yes, you can have that fun because of Memorial Day. It's dedicated to men and women who died for this nation or in service to this nation. And many listeners have said they take part in various events, putting flags out, sometimes taking their kids with them, which I think is a great idea. Boy Scout troops doing it. One listener had just sent me a message, which I know she's done this for at least 3 years, I can recall. It began this time from Diane, the message, mission accomplished. Flags are out and a penny left on the grave markers. While we were doing this, she's talking about she and her grandson. They put a flag out on each soldier's marker, as many as they have, and a penny. I don't know the age of the grandson. I think he might be 8, 9, could be 10 or a little bit older. And I think it was done at Jefferson Barracks Cemetery for our fallen, but that's not included this time. So that's speculation on my part. But she said, our mission is accomplished. Flags are out, a penny left on the grave markers. While we were doing this, two older gentlemen had been watching. We didn't realize it until they came up to us and thanked me for teaching him how important it is to remember and honor our vets. I told them it was my pleasure. One identified himself as an Army vet, the other a Marine vet. They shook my grandson's hand and thanked him. He looked at them without any encouragement and said, this from a grandson, again, I don't think any older than 10, saying, no, thank you for your sacrifice and service. The Army vet teared up. He and the Marine quietly walked away, is what Diane writes. And then she said, my grandson asked, why was the Army vet sad? And she said, I explained he wasn't sad, just a proud vet. Because of our vets, you have so many freedoms. And Gwen, again, Memorial Day is not about those who have served, but those who died. And these two have served, but they were there that day to also honor maybe fallen colleagues that they had. Or maybe just there to honor, period. And they witnessed this woman and her grandson placing flags and a penny on each of the headstones. I mentioned earlier, guns are not the real issue. It's society. And the lack of a moral compass is not restricted to any particular gender, race, religion, even sexual preference. Again, I'm not talking about biblical issues. I'm talking about simply what is right and what is wrong. And how do we get back to teaching that to kids and correcting them when they need to be corrected and praising them when they've done right? And when do we quit glorifying and allowing those who want recognition to become, quote, famous for something they did when it's really infamous? We're creating a tragedy like we saw in Uvalde, Texas. When do they quit seeking that kind of high that makes them feel special for that period of time at the cost of someone else. Cost of someone else's esteem, their own self-worth, maybe their life. We as a nation can do better. It doesn't have to be couched in religion. For those of you who are not that religious, you know the basic tenet, do unto others. And you do know, thou shalt not kill. Take those and begin using it, a moral compass. Help us help others. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.